Now, joining me to talk, he's the author of How to Find Mr. Right. You can find his website, howtofindmrright.net. They do seminars and conferences as well. Carrie Gardette, welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you very much, Kara. How are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to talking about this. I think you have a lot of questions we have posed that are going to be answered. Let's talk a little bit about that. I know the USA Today has said 30% of millennials say they can't afford to date, so we'll get into that as well. But have the rules changed when who is to pay for a date or for dinner or for the movies? Have the rules changed at all? Because I think this seems to be the same ongoing banter back and forth when people are deciding that.
Right. As it relates to millennials, actually every generation that I've ever been associated with that are, say, 17 to 22, they're pretty much trying to figure out what they need to do in life. And that relates to them finishing college or trying to establish a work and job career. So money plays a very important role in their lives in dealing with paying with college debt or paying a car note. But as it relates to dating, young ladies should be focused on the type of young men that she likes and to see if she can develop meaningful relationships with them.
So do you, what are your thoughts on kind of having a list of kind of what you want and maybe what you don't want? Does that kind of thwart you from meeting somebody because they may not fall on that list? Or should you kind of have an idea of what you're looking for?
Well, actually, I think, you know, young ladies should be looking for, in that 17 to 22 age group, should be looking for people who they think are compatible for them, that they could live the rest of their life with. So if they're looking for a guy to take them on an expensive lunch or dinner at that age group, then her priorities are really all wrong, unless it's her birthday. Then she can expect some young man to, you know, take her on a very nice lunch or dinner.
Does it change, though, depending on how old you are? So you have maybe some listeners right now that are 40 or 50 or 60 that are looking for a companion as well. How much does your priority change when it comes to that?
Yeah, I, the older you are, yes. If you're not into that, you know, restricted area in terms of money, being a 17 to 22-year-old, if you're an older lady who has pretty much established her life and her work career and all of those things, yeah, her priorities would be completely different than a young lady that's in a 17 to 22 age group.
Now, you talk about the game and how it's supposed to help women. Tell us what the game is.
Well, actually, in my book, How to Find Mr. Right, I take women through a process that starts with them doing a self-evaluation of themselves and to determine what their strengths and weaknesses are and to put all of their strengths on display to every man that they meet. And then I created, after I took them through the process, I created the game to show them how to find their Mr. Right and how to use the information.
What about women being more assertive? Like, instead of waiting for a man to come up and ask you out or waiting for somebody to come up and ask you out, what about you kind of taking charge? Has that changed a lot, and should it change?
Perfect question. I find that women find men that they're the most attracted to. They see them actually when they never expect to see them, like at the mall, the gas station, the grocery store. That's when they see guys and go, wow, he's nice. But because their parents taught them to never introduce them to him, to walk over and introduce themselves to that man, I tell them that that's a lost opportunity for them to find their Mr. Right.
Right. And I love on your, looking at your website right now, howtofindmrright.net. The one thing that you say that I think probably is a myth to a lot of people, but you say it's not about your age or your dress size. It's about four important areas: a positive attitude, how you feel about yourself, how you present yourself, and asking the right questions. And that's so key, right? You see people, and oftentimes you'll hear people judge other couples like, how is he with her? How is she with him? And it's like, it's all about something much deeper that they were attracted to. And we have ourselves convinced that it's always, you know, the physical, initially, but it's, as they say, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
That's absolutely correct, because you never know who you're going to be compatible with and who you're going to find that chemistry with that you want to live a long-term relationship with for the rest of their life and love them to death. So you have to go through a process, and the four keys that you mentioned are the truly the keys for you to get some clarification on if this is your Mr. Right or not.
Yeah, it makes so much sense, too, because if you are your best self, you it seems that you would attract somebody that's compatible with your best self, and that's what you kind of want, right? You don't want somebody that kind of is aligned with your worst self. It seems
that's
like
absolutely correct.
You I don't know if I'm saying it right,
who's
but
make you a better person and make you whole and help you to get to your career goals and all of the wonderful things that you want in life.
So a lot of your work, because I know you do seminars and conferences, and you have your book, How to Find Mr. Right. A lot of it is focused on the self initially, right? Is making sure you're kind of. You have found yourself first before you go looking for a significant other.
Exactly, and that's why I take ladies through the process, because they need to know who their Mr. Right is. And that's why I ask them to identify what their wants and needs are. Their wants are actually what their desires are, and their needs are their requirements. An example of that is, I need Mr. Right to love me. And, you know, so those are the things that they need to establish of what their wants and needs are. And when they do that, it becomes their qualifications and requirements for their Mr. Right.
Now, you address the fact if someone isn't financially stable, is that a warning sign or not? What's your answer to that?
I think it's all up to the lady and what she wants. And when she knows exactly what she wants, if the guy doesn't have any money and that's a deal breaker, it's over. But if she sees that he has a future and he has a plan to get his financial situation together, then maybe that's something for her to consider.
And that's where you have to look at the fact, because there's a lot of women out there, I definitely was one for a number of years, that are savers. Not in saving money, saving people, right? So you're dating someone and hoping to save them or help them turn their life around or make them a better person, and like we're taking on projects, right? So I guess a lot of that would have to be the self-study first to make sure that you're not doing it for, you know, you're looking for an equal. You're not looking for someone that you have to, you know, pull up from the ditch necessarily.
I agree with that. I think a woman should search for a Mr. Right who's going to make her a better person, put her in a better position socially, financially, and obviously from a love standpoint.
Well, Carrie, the best way to go about getting your book, How to Find Mr. Right?
I would love for everyone to visit my website at howtofindmrright.net, and if they would like to order a copy of my book, just hit the Buy Now button.
Oh, thank you so much, Carrie, for your time today. Again, Carrie Gardette, the author of How to Find Mr. Right. You can find the website, howtofindmrright.net. Always an interesting conversation, because I think that's when, if you look back over successful and unsuccessful relationships, it was more about you, right, than it was about them. It was more about where you were in life, what you're willing to accept, what you willing to give up, and those deal breakers. How much have those changed for you over the years? I know, obviously, my situation changed depending on, you know, where I was financially, where I was in my career, when I had a daughter. You know, I was looking for something completely different before I had her. So an interesting conversation. Hey, we're going to talk next about outdated wedding rules, because I thought this was really interesting. A lot of wedding parties have now gotten rid of saying, is anyone there want to object to this relationship? And a lot of people have abandoned that. So we'll get into that. What are some of the wedding rules that you changed, or what are some that you've implemented? What are some of the traditions that you were adamant about having? Because for some of us, tradition is something that you love and you hang on to, and you like to have tradition, but some are pretty outdated. We'll go through some of these outdated ones, but I want to hear from you. when you had a wedding or your kids had a wedding, you planned a wedding, what were some of the things that seemed to move away from some of the traditional wedding trends? And what were some of the new things that were brought to the forefront? Text 10-800-1012-95-197-92-2559 on the TKO Show.